Good morning, Vanderhoof Baptist. Happy Easter. Kelsey and I recorded a song that we wanted to share this morning. So if you haven't heard that yet, I would encourage you to go back to the website and see if you can find it and play it first. It was intended to be played before the sermon. We're going to try to get that loaded up onto the website. The song is, He Lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. It's a wonderful song. Amen. I hope you get a chance to listen to it. Easter, the day on our Christian calendar that we recognize the empty grave. The resurrection of Jesus. I know for many of you, this is a day that is especially hard to miss gathering. You may even feel as though you've disappointed God in some way by not gathering. Maybe similar to how you feel by missing a gathering for a close family member's birthday. Let me read to you something that the Apostle Paul said in Romans concerning viewing one day over another. It's in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verses 5, and then just the first half of verse 6. Romans 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. Paul shared these words in response to some arguing going on about which days were most important to gather. Understand, God wants us to utilize every day in honor to Him. And truthfully, that's what's also best for us. Jesus will not be any more upset about us missing out on gathering this Sunday at that particular building over any other Sunday. Every Sunday should be seen as a reminder and a celebration of our risen Christ. The very reason that we meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, rather than Saturday, the seventh day, was in part in recognition of the fact that Jesus rose from the grave on that day. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Don't be overly concerned about the day we celebrate it. What's important is that we do celebrate it. Now, the worship team is talking about doing something possibly interesting when we do gather our first Sunday back after COVID-19. Maybe treating it as an Easter service. So keep an eye out for communications about it when the time draws near. My main text this morning comes out of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for that empty tomb and its message for us this morning. I ask you to bless each and every heart that's taken the time to pause and to listen to your word. Help us this morning to be drawn unto you. We thank you and praise you for what you are doing. We ask you to be around about the governmental leaders, the medical professionals, the many that are making decisions right now about what we should be doing currently. Guide us as individuals that we can be a positive part in this whole process as we attempt to be lights, as we allow you to direct us. We ask you to guide us, Lord. Help us to see clearly. Help us to lean upon you and to trust you in this time. We thank and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here on the first day of the week, on a Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone was gone. It had been taken away, been pushed aside from the tomb. Many churches gather early on Easter Sundays to have what's called a sunrise service. So I confess, I can't remember any that I've been part of in recent years that actually met in the dark or at sunrise. Sunrise, according to what I read, was supposed to be at 6:53 this morning. Many churches meet for a sunrise service to mimic the time frame that the discovery was made. John tells us it was early while it was still dark when the tomb was found empty. But note, there is no immediate joy in the moment for Mary of Magdala. You and I look back and we think how exciting this must have been for the followers of Jesus to be at the tomb and to recognize that he had rose from the grave. But at this point, Mary Magdalene is the only one that knows the tomb is empty, and she doesn't even recognize its significance. She just knows the body's missing. The early followers of Christ were simply gathering at the gravesite. Really no different than you or I may do sometime after we've lost a loved one, when we might go to a gravesite. Mary was not going to the grave in anticipation of the timing of his resurrection. Just as you and I are sometimes confused about what is taking place on the calendar of God, the early disciples did not fully understand what God was doing. We might think now about what God is doing in the midst of this pandemic. I'm not suggesting I have it figured out. I'm living through it just as all of you are, but I know God is working in the midst of it, speaking to us, drawing us to him. I know this because he's always doing this. Some have suggested we should see this as a sign of Jesus preparing to return. I don't know. I can't see this as a strong sign any more than the many other devastating events that have happened over the 2,000 years plus Jesus left. Most important thing for us to do is to be prepared for his return anytime. And we have no need to try and figure out the signs. So back again now is what was happening in first century Palestine near Jerusalem. Let's look at verse 2, John chapter 20, verse 2. So she, Mary of Magdala, she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Mary wants to know, where's the body? What did they do with it? Mary ran to find the disciples. Do you sense some excitement welling up within you, maybe reading of Mary and her frustration and her search for the body of the one she loved? We as 21st century Christians know the end of the story. No one had taken his body. He had risen from the grave. Grave could not hold him. Death has lost its sting. This is true not only for Jesus, but for all who believe upon him. No grave will hold anyone who proclaims the name of Jesus and the salvation that he offers to all who respond in faith. Upon hearing the news of the empty grave, Peter and the other disciple, who's John, the writer of this gospel, went to go see it for themselves. Was it true? Was his body truly missing? I know not many people like to run for exercise. A friend of mine's all the time telling me that the only time I'll see him run is if somebody's chasing him. That the disciples here ran to the grave with anxious minds. What's happening? Verse 3. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Both John and Peter had now seen the empty tomb for themselves. But like Mary, they did not understand the significance. You know, John here in his gospel mentions that they believed, and I think the point that John is saying here is not that they believed in the resurrection quite yet, that they fully understand what was happening, but that they simply believed what Mary had said. Oh, Jesus had told them that he was going to rise. They didn't understand his words. Again, John tells us in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Look what they did next. John tells us that they ran to the grave. But now what are they doing? They're leaving. They're heading back to their homes. I don't know about you, but I can picture them walking back. Take a moment and visualize maybe the puzzled look on their faces as they return to their homes. Maybe you can attest to walking away from something that's puzzling. Maybe you've been puzzled about what all's happening with COVID-19. What'll happen next? How will it affect your family and friends? When will everything be normal again? What will normal look like after this? This anxiety, or at least a sense of not really knowing, may have been similar to the way the disciples would have been feeling that day. I imagine that walk back was quiet. They probably didn't talk much with each other. They slowly traveled back and separated into their own homes. Maybe John and Peter just glanced at each other as they parted ways. I wonder what the weather was like. Maybe the sun was shining and it was a beautiful day, but neither of them noticed it at the time. They were bewildered. But Mary Magdalene didn't head back to the home. She chose just to stay by the empty tomb. She was puzzled as well, but wasn't ready to go home. Back in the gospel, John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the womb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said unto her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Mary, I suppose because she's so distraught in the situation, looks into the tomb and doesn't seem surprised at the appearance of the two angels. When they speak to her, she seems to calmly answer, "They have taken the body of the Lord." She thinks someone has taken the lifeless body of Jesus and moved it somewhere else. What a surprise she has in store. Angels ask, "Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping indeed? Why weep for someone who is very much alive?" What a turning point in the life of Mary, as well as in the church that is still reverberating today from death to life, from discouragement to excitement beyond measure. Jesus will soon appear and asks her the same question. What a day Mary was having. Verse 14. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Simply at the pronouncing of her name, all is changed. She immediately recognizes Jesus. "Mary," she responds, "Teacher." Upon hearing him pronounce her name, she knows. Are you looking forward to hearing your name on the lips of Jesus? One day, all who have been baptized in him will be called up from the graves to meet him. The one who died for your sins and for the sins of the world. All who will call upon his name will hear their name on his lips. Mary. First, at his appearing, Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus. I wonder if he hid his awareness from her, or maybe she was just so distraught that she couldn't believe her eyes. I think the latter is true. Would you expect to see someone very much alive who you just saw die and be buried 3 days ago? There is no limit to the God I serve. The grave could not hold him. He is alive. She reaches out to touch him, longing to embrace him. He tells her to let go. "I have to go for now." It was hard for her to leave. Imagine walking away from someone you love after seeing them rise from the grave. But she relents, possibly looking back a time or two as she leaves. I'm picturing tears running down her face once again, but oh, so different than the tears that she had just moments ago. Now Mary goes and does what all of us who call Jesus our Lord are supposed to do. She left to tell others. Verse 18. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. John doesn't record it in this way, but I sense that Mary runs to tell the disciples. Surely she was at least walking fast. I would love to have heard the inflection in her voice. "I have seen the Lord. He is alive." As we sang it in our hymn this morning, "He lives." What does this mean for us? What should we do about it over 2,000 years later? I have three things that I want to encourage you, each of us, all who call upon Jesus, should do about it in our time. First of all, we should believe it. And we should share it. And lastly, we should remember it. Believe it. Mary tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. The same Jesus who offered eternal life demonstrated his capability to rise from the grave and thereby proved to us he can offer us the same. The disciples who ran when Jesus was taken from them during his arrest scattered. When they all scattered during his arrest are the same men who began to proclaim his resurrection and the need to trust in him for salvation. And understand, they made this proclamation to the very people who had crucified Jesus in front of them. They wanted others to know that he was alive and that many of them had seen him. The Apostle Paul says at one point that Jesus showed himself to 500 people. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. The same Jesus who said to love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, proved his worthiness to give us orders. Believing in the resurrection is not a choice that is open to discussion to those who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ. If you're going to gain what Jesus came to offer, you must believe it all. The Apostle Paul goes as far to say, without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17, 18, and 19. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who had passed, have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I like what the King James says in this last verse. We are of all men most miserable. If Jesus was not raised, then we have no reason to gather. We have no cause to praise God for our forgiven sins. If Christ died and stayed in the grave, Paul goes on to say later in this very chapter, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But praise be to God, Jesus did rise from the grave and lives evermore to intercede in our behalf. Which leads me to my second point. We should be sharing it. Just as Mary left the side of Jesus to go and tell it to the fellow disciples, we are called to share it as well. Now, we may not all be called to be missionaries across the oceans or stand behind pulpits and declare the risen Savior, but we have been called to share it in our workplaces as well as within our families and communities. We mostly do this by living in such a way that honors God. Just as Jesus was seen different than the world he lived in, so too does he call us to be different than the world around us. And he promised to be by our side in this process. He told us he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that the Holy Spirit himself would live within us to give us the words to share when the opportunity comes. Don't make excuses for what you can't do. Just look for opportunities to do what you can with who you can. And understand, not all are going to listen. Just as not all listened and responded to Jesus in his day. We shouldn't be surprised at times when people refuse to hear what we have to say. Do not be ashamed to share. Is the chance of losing a friend worth the chance to help them avoiding losing their soul? Take a moment right now and just think, who in your life right now needs to hear about Jesus Christ? Pray that God would give you the opportunity and the words to share. And most importantly, reflect in your life an attempt, a desire to follow Jesus in the way that you live. One last thing for those who worship the risen Savior. Remember it. Again, this is Easter Sunday on the Christian calendar, but as I shared in the beginning, each Sunday is a celebration of Resurrection Day. There are many organizations who have historical moments they remember and utilize for motivation to go on. Coaches of sports teams might remind players to put in a great effort for a member of the team who's passed. A country is reminded of past battles won for encouragement to get through the next. On the morning of that first Resurrection Sunday, Mary went slowly out to the grave, sensing a loss. A loss in all the hopes that Jesus had built up in her and the rest of her followers. She sensed that all was lost. The man who had shared such wonderful words of hope was taken from them, ferociously beaten, and he had died a terrible death upon the cross. Doctors tell us that one eventually succumbs to suffocation when hung on the cross. And he was taken down from the cross and his body put into a nearby tomb, the same tomb that Mary found herself at that morning. But what a difference one day made in the life of Mary. What a difference this one day has made in the lives of all who call upon him in faith. Remember, maybe this morning you are feeling a sense of loss. Whether that sense of loss is over your sinful lifestyle or you're dealing with some brokenness that has come upon you for what seems to be no fault of your own. As long as Jesus is alive, and he is very much alive, understand there is hope in your situation. The Son of God, who could not be held in the grave, can help improve your situation. Remember the empty grave. It offers hope to anyone who senses all is lost. Would you call upon him today? Let's pray. Lord, reach out to each heart, each soul. Lord, if there be somebody that's listening to this message who has not yet put their faith in you, let this be the moment. Let this be the time. Let this be the day. Lord, maybe there's some Christians out there right now who need some encouragement. Lord, I pray you press encouragement down upon them through your Holy Spirit. Lord, those of us who, there are others of us who are just simply praising you and thanking you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of physical life as well as eternal life that we receive through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to watch, guide, and bless us as we seek to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. I serve a risen Savior. Do you?